episode 7 of the College Tribe podcast. I'm your host, Austin Price. My goodness, I can't believe we are already at the 7th episode. It's amazing how once you get into the rhythm of college football, the weeks just start flying by. It is a bummer. It's the best. I think it's the best sports season, being in the autumn and the winter and all that. Once the season really gets cooking, it's just a perfect time of year. So it's a shame that it flies by so fast. But man, we have found our rhythm here. And with that, we find a bit of a structure, a format that we follow as we go through every week. And I think I've established that we always start our episodes here with looking at the AP top 10, reacting to the AP poll, seeing what changes, if any, were made, and how many are conversation worthy, so on and so forth. Looking at the top 10, luckily I can keep this brief. There wasn't a lot of chitter chatter resulting how the top 10 shifted after this last week of college football. Number one is still Texas. Number two is Georgia. Number three is Ohio State. Number four is Alabama. Number five, Tennessee. Number six, Ole Miss. We'll touch on those two in a minute. Number seven, Miami. Number eight, Oregon State. Number nine, Penn State. Number 10, Utah. All right. So, as I said, not much going on in the top 10. Missouri dropped from 7th down to 11th. And Texas A&M moved up from 25th to 24th after struggling with Bowling Green. All right, so those are the three biggest observations I made. Tennessee and Ole Miss switching 5 and 6. Missouri getting a conference win, remaining unbeaten, and dropping 4 spots outside of the top 10. And Texas A&M moving up after struggling with a MAC school when they shouldn't have been ranked in the first place. So I will give the AP credit because I'm getting some mixed signals here when it comes to the treatment of some of these teams, and they just so happen to all be SEC. AP voters, I gave them credit for dropping Georgia after struggling with Kentucky and giving Texas the new number one spot. I agreed with that. I agree with punishing Missouri. You can bicker on where you want Missouri to fall, but I agree with dropping them, making an example out of them, saying, no, we're not gonna give you a pass for struggling with some weakling opponent. And Vanderbilt is just that. We're not going to give you a pass for that if you want to be taken seriously as some top-ranked team. So dropping Mizzou, I'm all for it. And then putting Tennessee above Ole Miss, when Tennessee is one of the most proven teams in the country now after beating Oklahoma by 10 on the road, and the game was more lopsided than that visually, when you put Tennessee over Ole Miss because of your resume, and Ole Miss hasn't played anyone yet, that's, once again, you're showing what people want to see. You punish high-ranking teams for struggling, and you're rewarding teams for getting on a plane, going to a tough place to play, and beating up on an opponent, a ranked opponent, an opponent that when you beat them, it actually means something. Reward Tennessee. Punish Ole Miss. Punish Georgia for struggling. Punish Missouri for struggling. I'm all for that. And then we have Texas A&M. Texas A&M just combats all of it. A lot of people said Texas A&M shouldn't even have been ranked 25th. They should not have been ranked. What'd you do to earn it? You beat up McNeese State. You beat up on Florida, who's unwatchable. We've already touched on that. And your biggest game up to now was Notre Dame, who's clearly not perfect either. And they beat you and Kyle Field by double digits. And you're ranked at 2-1. Nobody cares. So then you host a MAC school, Bowling Green, and you only beat them by 6. If I'm not mistaken, 26-20 was the final. And you move up? Are these AP voters? Like, is the Associated Press, is their headquarters in College Station? Why is Texas A&M still here? The narrative this entire time has been holding the SEC accountable, holding all teams accountable. And Texas A&M just keeps creeping on up. Texas A&M, I think, plays Arkansas this weekend. I can't wait for them to get exposed, whether it be by the Hogs or somebody else. It should be by Arkansas. And at least if Arkansas beats them, they'll have a better argument to be ranked. My goodness. That irks me. A&M has done nothing to be ranked where they are and struggling with a MAC school. I will give Bowling Green credit. Got a little bit of a write-up on the Falcons here. Scott Loeffler, I don't even know how to say the fella's name, but him and the Falcons went 7-6 in 2023. That may not sound like much, but it was their first winning season since 2015. 2023 saw the Falcons get a 38-27 road win over a Georgia Tech team that ended up going positive. And this year has seen them not only almost beat A&M in College Station, but almost beat a top 10 Penn State in Beaver Stadium, Happy Valley. Those are two of the toughest places to play. So we hear. So congrats to Bowling Green. Clearly, they're not a team to be trifled with. But yeah, so we're not gonna ramble about that random situation anymore. We're just going to look at the top 10, Texas, Georgia, Ohio State, Bama. I'm fine with it. Some people wanted Tennessee to jump Bama. One team at a time. All right. Tennessee and Alabama, they'll face each other next month. If they don't shift before then, they will soon enough. Tennessee doing good, jumping Ole Miss. I agree with it. Miami, Oregon, Penn State, Utah. 7-9 there. Miami, Oregon, and Penn State. I've already talked about how all of them are overrated. They haven't beaten anyone really of promise yet. We'll get more on the Miami win in a minute. And then number 10 is Utah. I mean, you got a ranked win over Oklahoma State. I believe it was on the road. And it was a convincing win. So I can't sit here and say that you haven't proven yourselves at least worthy of your ranking now. I just don't buy Utah. I feel like they're going to reach their limit soon enough. They're going to hit their ceiling soon. But you know what? At this rate, some of the teams that were lingering from 10 to 20 as well, it's like, I don't believe in y'all either. It's just a matter of who else is going to be there. So I look at Utah as just one of those teams. They have a better argument for being 10th than anyone else around them does. So, you know, I'm fine with it. I think this is a pretty agreeable top 10. If your only problem is that one unbeaten team isn't one spot above another unbeaten team, and those teams face each other next month anyway, if that's your only takeaway, who cares? Alrighty, I said I was going to get more on the Miami game. Let's shift over to the Florida teams here. We saw some much-needed wins from the Big Three this weekend. The only problem is they don't say too much. We'll start with Florida, 45-28 at Mississippi State. Look, conference road win, three possessions. This was a game you needed to beat up the Bulldogs. If you didn't, it was going to be such a bad look just a week after Toledo beat up on them, on the same field, no less. Florida had to go out there and make an example out of Mississippi State. And they did just that. They visibly outplayed them. As I said, 45-28. Well done. It buys Napier 2% of his job security back. Toledo still played him better than you did. So take that with a grain of salt, I guess. Speaking of grains of salt, we got FSU getting their first win of the season over Cal, 14-9. Once again, conference win. Congrats. Heck, a win. You know, congrats on getting your first win of the season. But there's a reason. People talk about Cal's unbeaten, and yeah, they were. And I understand that that added to the implications, and that made them look all the tougher. But even with Cal being unbeaten, with a road win over an SEC team, there's a reason Cal was expected to lose anyway. I think the spread at the time of kickoff was Florida State minus 2.5. Winless FSU was expected to beat 3-0 Cal. That's not a red flag to anybody. Cal was 3-0, as I said, road win at Auburn, and they weren't ranked. That's also kind of a red flag, is it not? Texas A&M gets ranked with a double-digit home loss to Notre Dame, who can't beat a MAC team, at least not the Northern Illinois. They can beat Miami of Ohio, I guess, but, you know, we're splitting hairs at that point. The thing is, Texas A&M got ranked. Cal didn't get ranked. Unbeaten road win at Auburn. That should tell you what we all saw. Cal wasn't that great of a team. Congrats, Florida State. I'm not trying to rain on your parade here, but people are acting like, okay, you know, we got some momentum. Now let's keep it going. We've turned this new leaf. Now let's make something of it. You haven't turned anything. 14-9? In a game you were expected to win. 14 points. Fun fact for you, that is the second most amount of points Florida State has put up in a game all season. 14. So their offense still sucks. Their defense kept Cal out of the end zone. Congrats on that. But you were still giving up pivotal plays on some of these drives, letting Cal dominate the flow of the game at times in this, on a second and long. Oh, look at that, wide open man for Cal to get a first down, or a third and long, or late in the game, it was like a fourth and 13. They found a wide open tight end. Easy first down conversion. Easy. Fourth down conversion, excuse me, for the first down. They made it look easy on Florida State. You stepped up with the sacks. You stepped up with keeping them out of the end zone. But when you're only putting up 14 points against a team you're expected to beat, and you're still only winning by five, that's not a good look for the future. All the problems we have at Florida State over in Tallahassee are still very much prevalent. You play SMU this weekend. SMU just put up 66 on TCU. How am I supposed to look at you and say that you're going to win that game? Like, honestly, how am I supposed to do that? I can't. But we'll get more on that later. Bottom line is Florida State got a win. It's better than no win at all. But it told us nothing about some direction Florida State's going in. Then we got Miami. Hinted at them earlier. They beat USF 50-15. They were struggling in that game for like the first half of it. But they ended up waking up. Had a slow start, of course, smaller opponent. That doesn't combine for a great look. But you did better than Bama did, so what the heck, right? You're seventh now. Welcome to the top seven. All these teams, I harp on them. I pick apart their wins. I say what's good. I say what's bad. I really focus on what's bad. However, nonetheless, they are winners. Unfortunately, UWF, not a part of the winner's circle, moving here locally. They lost at home to West Alabama 35-33 in double overtime. Quite an upsetting loss for the Argos there. Gulf South Conference opener. Speaking of, because I want to talk about this, the Tigers are 4-0 now. West Alabama, 4-0. That's a team that's turned over a new leaf. After back-to-back non-winning seasons, they are now 4-0. And they just went into West Florida and won. Florida State, take note. That's a team that's turned over a new leaf. That's a team that's captured something that they really need to keep rolling with. But I think this is something that could have harmed the Argos. 4-2. This was West Florida's second game. They had played McKendree, who they were clearly better than, and then they had like a bye week. So they hadn't played hardly anybody. They beat up on somebody, and then they rested up. That's all they did. And I'm all for resting up, you know, for a big game, which this clearly was, but you need to have something under your belt. You need to be battle-tested. You need to be prepared. West Alabama entered this game 3-0. They were all the more prepared. I don't know. I think that could have been a problem here, especially considering that West Alabama just barely squeaked by. I think if West Florida was just a bit more ready for this caliber of opponent, they could have held on to win. But either way, it was a hard-fought game. Congrats to West Alabama. Good effort by the Argos. Want to segue to this now. Upcoming games, of course. West Florida, we'll start with them. They got a road opener now at 3-0 Grand Valley State. Grand Valley State is a team you've probably heard of. Over the last 3 years, they've had win counts into 10, like in double digits. Let me say that again without, you know, stuttering all over the place. They have had three straight seasons with win counts of 10 or more. Double-digit win seasons for the last 3 years. Very consistently dominant team over these past few seasons. UWF, after a heartbreaking conference opening loss, has to go on the road for the first time this season and take on those guys who are 3-0 right now. That's going to be tough. Going back to just the more national scale, but still keeping it Floridian at least. FSU, they've got their first actual road game at SMU this season, as we said. And when I say actual road game, I mean Ireland doesn't count. It's a neutral site in its truest form. You're on another part of the world, you know? And it was a season opener against Georgia Tech. It's like, that doesn't count as a true road game environment, especially considering that Garnett littered the crowd there. This is your first true road game, and it's a pretty good ways out. Tallahassee to Dallas? Are you kidding me? So it's a pretty tough gig. The SMU is going to be wanting to bring the house down there. They're wanting to make an example out of Florida State and really come out swinging against the Seminoles, who have been a crowned jewel of the ACC, this conference that the Mustangs are now in. So SMU, high-powered offense, as we said earlier, and they got FSU at a tough time, first road game. Then we got Florida. They're on a bye before welcoming UCF. That's actually a huge game. We'll touch on UCF in a minute. Miami, they play Friday night. They host Va Tech, so that's an ACC rivalry there, Big East rivalry if you're really old. One of the ACC's biggest failures in 2024, that's Va Tech for you. Va Tech, they just lost to Rutgers this last weekend. Combine that with a loss to Vanderbilt, which clearly means nothing, and you've got an ugly-looking Hokies team. So Miami hosting them, that should be tough for the Hokies. UCF, they host a beatable Colorado, which, if you ask Nebraska, is the ticket to a rank. Colorado just squeaked past Baylor this last weekend, so I'm sure there are a lot of AP voters out there who believe Colorado is good now, good again. UCF hosting them, I could see them sending Colorado and the AP voters that love them back to reality, and that would make UCF, what, 4-0? That would, would it make them, they'd be unbeaten. They haven't lost anyone, I don't believe. And they've already got a win over TCU, and as I said, they just, they had a bye week, and now they've got this game at home, so UCF could definitely win that game, and they will still have a goose egg in their loss column. So if they beat Colorado, they should, and I think, or they could, and I think should be ranked, absolutely. Then we've got USF. After this loss to Miami, they go to Tulane for a cinematic Group of Five challenge, both having taken on ranked Power Four competition. So we were talking about being battle-tested and the pros of that earlier. These two teams are going to make for one heck of a Group of Five matchup. That's going to be awesome. All right, so just giving some score predictions here. UWF at Grand Valley State. I'm going to say UWF tries to come out, give it their all, give them a scare. I'll take Grand Valley State by a field goal, 27-24. I'm sorry, Argos, but they are just really looking tough right now, and you got to go to their neck of the woods, and that's quite far from Pensacola. FSU goes to SMU. I've got SMU putting up 31, beating Florida State by a couple scores. 31-17 is what I've got penciled in here. I got Miami rolling over Va Tech 41-21. Miami needs to try to make an example out of the Hokies now that they're, you know, starting to get into like conference play, bigger competition week in, week out. Now that they're starting to do that and they know that people don't believe them based on their quality of opposition so far, Miami needs to make an example out of the Hokies. UCF and Colorado, I'll say it's a high-scoring game. I'll take UCF 39-33. I'll say they win it a bit close at home. And then we got USF at Tulane. I'll take Tulane, home field advantage. Kind of tough. If they were going to USF, I'd maybe take the Bulls, but they are in Tulane, so I'll take the Green Wave 35-30. As for some other big games that are going to be on nationally here, it is such a loaded slate. My goodness. I was jotting down these teams. And, you know, obviously the talk of the town is Georgia-Bama, and we'll get to them in a minute. But I was just looking at some of these games, and some of these aren't being talked about nearly as much as they should be. First of all, number 20, Oklahoma State, goes to number 23, K-State. I mean, that is a battle for, like, that's a battle for redemption on both sides. Oklahoma State just got beat up by Utah. Kansas State, we were too right about the almost upset alert last week. BYU ended up steamrolling Kansas State, 38-9. BYU is now ranked as a result. K-State still ranked, but as you just heard, quite low. But they're at home. Man, I think they're going to go out, and I think they're going to squeak just past OK State. I think we're going to see a typical Big 12 matchup, high scoring. Give me K-State 41-37. Then we've got number 15 Louisville at number 16 Notre Dame. This is a really good one. Once again, nobody's talking about it. Louisville, what are you doing at 15th? You beat Georgia Tech by 12. You were at home. You beat them by 12, and now you're 15th? As I said, the biggest knock against Louisville is that they haven't played anyone. And now they're going to Notre Dame ranked 15th. I know Notre Dame is was overrated. They got outed as being overrated. But I just know they're all the better built of a team than Louisville is on paper, and they've got home field advantage. I think it's one of the most underrated stadiums in the country. It's going to be, piping hot in the stands, man. I mean, a top 16 matchup between these two teams, and they're tight-knit. As I said, it's 15-16. Give me the Irish. I say the Irish win 26-18. I think they expose Louisville. We had Louisville as the other team on upset alert last week against Georgia Tech, and you ended up not, you know, losing to them. You beat them by double digits. Congratulations. But it's a mediocre conference game at home, and it bumped you up to 15th? Why? That just doesn't make any sense. Then we've got Illinois at Penn State. That's number 19 traveling to take on number 9. I've got Penn State with another struggle win here. Penn State, that's my beef with them. They've looked overrated. When we last saw them against Bowling Green, they haven't really returned to my good graces since then. And it seems like the AP is kind of struggling to keep, like, they're keeping them at 9th, but they're struggling to keep them in their good graces as well. It's like, no, we're not going to look at you as completely vindicated until you do something worthwhile. Penn State's biggest win is over West Virginia, who's been disappointing this year, I'd say. And then the struggle with Bowling Green was just, ugh. So Penn State needs to come out and beat up on Illinois, but I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to win this game at home, 28-22, send Illinois packing. That'll move Penn State up, maybe over like an Oregon, and maybe even Miami, because it's going to be a top 20 conference win, assuming that they do hold on for a victory. And that's going to be better looking than most of what Miami or Oregon have. So I would look at that and say, okay, maybe Penn State needs to jump them, because if we are prioritizing resume as much as these AP voters appear to be in the rankings so far, then we need to put Penn State higher, assuming they get a ranked win. And they have an opportunity to do that now, and I think they will. All righty. Georgia and Alabama, number 2 going to number 4. Man, this one's tough. This I spent a good deal of time thinking about this game. Some of the scores, you know, I try not to think about them too much. It's just like, just put down a ballpark score that you've got in mind. This one, just trying to predict the winner of the game was brutal. I was trying to think about how this game would go with how we've seen some of these bigger SEC teams face off before. And I'm looking at Georgia, and I'm looking at them struggle against Kentucky, and I'm looking at Bama. Their offense is so efficient. They can snap their fingers and be up 21-0 before you even blink. I mean, and they're such a fast-paced offense, too. My goodness. And Jalen Milroe has really grown even more into the dual threat, like, dynamic QB. It's just crazy. So to have Alabama hosting them, both teams coming off a bye, I was just struggling to see how Georgia would not only beat them, but just merely contain Alabama. But then I remembered that Georgia shows up for these big games just like Bama does. Just the minute you count them out, they're there. They opened the season with Clemson, which is now being praised for having one of the highest-powered offenses in the country, even though they've played no one worth a hoot. And Georgia held them to 3 points to start the year. And they broke 30 on Clemson's defense. And Clemson's been a more defensively respectable team over the past few years than offensively. And then you've got the fact that Alabama just hasn't faced a team of Georgia's magnitude yet. So this is going to be a pretty jarring turn of events for both teams. That's why they both had bye weeks, because both of these teams are circling the other on the calendar. I got Georgia 23-20. I think it's going to be a very low-scoring game, relatively speaking, by these two teams' standards. I think it's going to be very low-scoring, very close. We're going to see several field goals. I've got Georgia winning close. 23-20, somewhere in that range. That's what I've got. Now, we've got our upset alerts. We've got 2. We typically have around 2. This one I think is pretty agreeable. Number 22 BYU goes to Baylor. BYU, as I said earlier, decimated K-State. And while that is impressive from BYU, I think it's also indicative of K-State's limits as a football team this year. Therefore, I don't think BYU is some great team. They're scrappy. They're good. They can catch you off guard. But they're not some powerhouse. They're going to be riding high, and they're going to be hungover after beating up on K-State, and they're going to think they're better than they actually are. And they're going to go to Baylor. They're going to be out for blood. trying to make up for that heartbreaking loss to Colorado back home, right? I'm not saying BYU's going to lose. These are upset alerts. You're just being alerted of potential upsets here. Look out for the Bears in that one. I also got, this one's probably going to be a bit more puzzling for people. Number 3, Ohio State goes to Michigan State. And a lot of people are going to be like, are you kidding me? Ohio State hasn't winced at anyone they've faced. Michigan State has been a struggling program for a few years now. And you've got Ohio State on upset alert against them? Yes, I do. Because you said Ohio State hasn't struggled with anyone. That's because they haven't played anyone. At least Michigan State has a conference win under their belt already. This is going to be Ohio State's season opener. Michigan State is 3-1 with conference experience. Ohio State's unbeaten. Congrats. But heck, I think I could be your QB and you'd be unbeaten if you were playing what? Who have they played? Was it Western Michigan? I know they played Akron, and most recently they played Marshall. Was the other team Western Michigan? I can't even remember because they haven't been that good. That's just the truth. It's not a knock on Ohio State. I know that a lot of teams play smaller competition early, but this is going to be, a pretty big change of pace for you. And I think Michigan State's going to be out for blood in East Lansing, and they're going to be partying hard, and they're going to be trying to bring the house down. I think if Ohio State's not careful, we could see a bit of a slip up there. Just a bit of one. You've been listening to the College Tribe Podcast. I'm Austin Price. Every Tuesday, right here on your podcast page on ESPNPensacola.com, ESPN Pensacola 99.1 FM, 1330 AM. We'll see you next Tuesday. Good night, everybody.